All right, we are now recording live. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world today. Thank you so much for coming to day number 3 for the Monetize Your Gifts Live Masterclass. This is Rodney Washington, your host. And I first want to say that I'm just beyond grateful that all of you have been there with us. I know many of you I've seen on the boards here have been with us all 3 days. You stuck out on the phone with us all 3 days. Some of you have been on the webcast and listened via the internet all 3 days. So I just want to start the day off before our conversation with my dear friend and mentor and colleague, Selena Maitreya. I just want to say thank you, a heartfelt thank you, and my appreciation and thanks for you being here with me. And the comments I've gotten on Facebook has been wonderful. Your feedback has been wonderful. And it's really meant a lot. Selena and I go back quite a few years, and Selena does an amazing program similar to mine called Clarion Call. So she knows the amount of depth it takes to put something like this together. And it's a lot of moving parts. But when you come down to it, it all comes down to you guys and your, you know, showing up graciously. There's a lot of places you could be and a lot of other things you could be doing on a Friday morning, and you're choosing to spend that time with us. And so I just want to take this moment to thank you for just being here and supporting me. And I hope and my goal and my dream and my wish is to support you and all that you've learned over the last 2 days and this fabulous day that we are now on. So with that said, I first want to say that I couldn't think of anyone better to bring to you, to talk to you and with you about a topic that I think everyone here needs to know about, and it's creativity and creative flow. My dear friend and my dear colleague and mentor, Selena Maitreya, knows how to tap into the essential creative passions and impulses that are present in all artists interested in altering and enhancing the way that they see their life's work. This creates a synergy of spirit, soul, skill, and yes, sweat. But this is how mojo and marketing and the intangible of aligning the planets become fully realized and properly utilized. Everyone, I want you to listen closely, take copious notes, because Selena's going to share with you how to create creative flow and what that actually means in regards to your business and your life. Running a business is as we all have discussed over the last couple of days, is an enormous undertaking, but it's one that all of you who are on this call have chosen to step into fully, and it's my mission and my goal to take you down the path with as few landmines as possible or to move through them as smoothly as possible to get to the place where you're fully tapped into yourself, your creativity, your resources, and your gifts, and get them out into the world because, as Selena will, I'm sure, agree, we need them now more than ever. Good morning, everyone, and I will, with my great honor and esteem, I welcome to you, present to you, Selena Maitreya. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning, Rodney. I'm fine. Thank you. That's a lovely, lovely introduction, and I'm very excited because I have known you for a while, and this is such a marvelous, marvelous event. I've been Facebooking my tribe about this, and I know a lot of people have signed up because they were so excited about it, and so being here is quite an honor. Thank you so much for having me and including me in this great event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. So, Selena, let's move right into it because we've got a lot of juicy content to share with everyone and a short amount of time, unfortunately, to deliver it in.
Yes.
So I want to move right into it if that sounds good to you.
Fabulous. Yeah, let's go.
Wonderful. So, Selena, you know, we talked about as we were conceptualizing our topic for our talk together, and you've been doing tremendous work lately, especially, you know, well, let me back up for a second. You know, Selena has a very extensive history in working very specifically with photographers, commercial photographers to be more precise, with a 30-plus year history in that. She's an author, portfolio consultant. So she's very well tapped into, attuned to, and aware of the challenges creatively that, and of course entrepreneurially, that photographers in particular face. But she also understands that there's a flow to running a business, a flow from yourself through your creativity and how that actually operates in your business. So I guess my first question for you, Selena, would be, you know, can you describe a little bit more in depth about creative flow? And you say that we can actually tap into this flow at will and on demand. Could you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah, it's a big, juicy conversation. I think it might be helpful, might be helpful to define, first of all, the word creativity, because there are so many different perceptions around the word. The way we're going to be discussing it today is creativity is an open state. It is a state where we're working from the energy of love versus the energy of fear. My grounding as a teacher has been primarily with photographers, and I work with many different creative people. My personal history is one where I've been a spiritual student and teacher, since I was 14 when I was a teenager, and I'm 58. So I have a deep history that I bring to working with creative people around the idea of being in an open state. Being in a state, as I say, of working from love instead of fear. What does that actually mean? That means that many times creativity has been defined as a direct physical manifestation of the divine energy. So if this is a little bit of a stretch for some of the folks that are listening, stretch with me. That's okay. Stretch with me, because I'm sure you're going to find places here that are really going to resonate quite deeply with you. If we consider creativity coming from a source outside of us that flows through us, we have context for our discussion here. I believe it was Leonardo da Vinci who was quoted. Actually, it was Pierre Mondrian, who was quoted as saying, the job of the artist is simple. The artist is a channel. And what he was referring to is a channel for the energy to come through him, the divine energy, the creativity. There are so many wonderful quotes about creativity and where it comes from, and they all direct back to source, to whatever we want to call the universal energy, God, Buddha, Krishna. I call it the oneness, the universal flow. So one of the first concepts is really understanding that creativity isn't just ours. It's something that we can channel. It's kind of like, I love this story. This story was given to me by a teacher of mine years ago, and she said, Selena, she said, when you're really thinking about discussing creativity, think of choosing to take people to the concept of a TV, because everybody knows about TVs. And when you think about who we are as beings, we're physical bodies, but we have energy inside of us. Quantum physics has proven that. Science has proven that. Our brain is full of electrical impulses. Well, so is a TV. And the idea behind the TV is very similar to the idea of how we channel creativity. Because the TV has all these, you know, I'm like such not a mechanical woman. You know that, Rodney. I am like right. The least mechanical person you're ever going to meet. But I know enough to know that in a TV, there's all kinds of, you know, electrical charges and radio waves or TV, I guess it's TV waves, right, TV waves that are coming through. And how do we get down to the very specific program on the very specific channel we want? We have one of those multi-switchers, and we hit buttons, and what happens is the very specific energy that needs to be highlighted for us to get to the very specific program on that very specific channel comes up through all of these waves that are out there all the time. Well, that's how we are. We're bodies that are moving through a universe and on a planet where there's all kinds of energy coming at us at all time. And what we need to do is we need to be able to put ourselves in a place, in a state, where we're able to receive this one very specific type of energy, which is creativity. And that really comes from a connection that's outside of us to the divine. So I think it's helpful to just talk about what creativity is. I think most of the folks listening, you'll hopefully agree that it's rare for you to be creating all the time, to be in a state. And I don't know that we ever want to be in a state where we're creating all the time, but we certainly want to be in a place where we have access to tapping into a creative opportunity, to our own creativity, to the divinity outside of us, when we would like to, and that's very possible. But it's not the situation for most people because they are not in a state where they're open to that, because there are certain things we have to do to put ourselves in a place where we're open to creativity, Rodney. So I hope that's the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. You know, for me, I find that I'm most creative, I think. I download. I call it downloads, actually, for me now. I've actually kind of shifted my language about it.
Yeah.
But for me, the act of creativity comes to me actually between those moments when I'm not necessarily doing the thing that I, quote-unquote, would deem as a creative act. You know, I don't know who it was that made this statement that said that music is made between the silence between the notes.
Exactly. And let's look at that. That's perfect, because that takes us to the second question, like how do you access creativity now that we know what it is? And that's it. My downloads happen in the morning, and they happen when I choose to go to quiet. And these are two words I would love everybody to hold in their front pocket at all times, and especially now as we have this conversation together. The words choice and the word awareness. These are very, very important concepts that help take you to the state of being open to receive creativity and creative moments. The silence is important. I've been holding seminars for creative people, all creative people, way beyond photographers now. I just came back from Bogota, Colombia, doing a 4-hour presentation. I've done this in New York City. Just came back from Toronto doing another presentation. And the idea is that we need, the people that I'm talking with are all expressing to me how overloaded they are in their daily life. So choice, we have to be aware of our state. How are you? Where are you? Where are the demands in your life? Where are the times of day that you either have available or you will choose to make available to go to quiet, to allow the material to be received by you? Because people are overloaded today, Rodney. There are so many responsibilities. People are oversaturated. They're overstimulated with noise and light and color and sound. Our society doesn't place value on quiet. It places value on, you know, chalking, you know, as much information as you as possible, and we're valued for what we can do and how much we can do and how much we can do at the same time, versus placing value on creating lives that allow for quiet, that allow for breath, that allow us to indeed have space and silence to hear the messages that are really truly coming in and available to us all the time. So we have to choose to go to that place. And that's a push-pull for a lot of people in the very beginning when they choose. Now, for people listening, if you're not a meditator, if you're not comfortable with the idea of slowing down your brain, you've got a lot of company. I have a very, very, very active brain. And it took me quite a long time to even want to meditate and then to learn how to meditate. But meditation, the way you might think of it, classic sitting down and breathing and going to no mind, isn't the only way to access quiet. In fact, I'm going to give everyone right now one of my favorite techniques that is very easy and accessible to everybody. And when I share this with people and they actually use this information, Rodney, I have to tell you, I get so many emails from people telling me, I can't believe how amazingly easy this was and how powerful it is. So may I share that now?
Please.
Great.
Please.
I would ask everybody who is listening and who is nodding their heads when I say, are you overstimulated? Are you oversaturated? Are you finding that you're saying, this sounds really good, but I don't have any place in my life to meditate, or I'm not interested, here's what I would love you to open your heart to. Give yourself, if you take 5 minutes, 5 minutes, three times a day, to simply make the choice to put yourself in a room where nobody is, to go off the computer, shut all the noise around you, TV, no music, just sit down and close your eyes and do nothing more than breathe. Deep breaths at first to slow the systems down. Deep, deep breaths, 4 or 5 deep breaths, and then just breathe normally for 5 minutes. You don't have to try to get anything out of your mind. You don't have to try to stop thinking. You're going to put your attention on your breath. You're just going to notice the breath as it comes in and goes out for 5 minutes, for three times a day. You can do this anytime. You can do this the beginning of the day, the end of the day, in the middle of the day. What this does is it slows down your entire physical body. And when your physical body slows down, everything inside of you does. Your thinking starts to slow down. What happens in the beginning is you may have to really actively make a choice to do this. It sounds simple, but you'll find yourself forgetting. You might find yourself only doing this one time a day. If that's the case, whenever you do it, don't fret. Just put your attention on it and do it, and I guarantee you, you're going to see a noticeable difference just in how you feel, and it's the beginning to want to go deeper to a place where there's quiet. And really choosing to go to quiet is really one of the very first steps towards opening to creativity.
You know, I've been doing that, as I mentioned to you before we started today's session. I took about 3 minutes because I've been on the computer since about 7 this morning doing things and checking things and, you know, sending emails and so on and so forth. And I was kind of like up to the second almost before I was ready to jump on the call with you. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, stop for just a few minutes and just give yourself 3 minutes to quiet down, calm down, breathe, not focus on anything, no music, nothing. And it made such a difference. And the first thing you said to me was, you sound really calm.
I did. It sounded like you had just woken up. I was like, oh, you know, I've done calls like, you know, events like you're holding here. And boy, I was admiring how calm you were. So that was great. It's important. It's important to slow down. And, you know, people can read lots of books. There's a fabulous book by Eckhart Tolle called The Power of Now. I think it was his first book, way before he became an Oprah star, with his latest book. And it is a really fascinating book for anyone to read because it really talks about the mind. And the mind is truly the antithesis. I think that's the right word, the opposite of being in the creative flow. When we're in mind work, we're thinking, we're not open. The mind is not usually in open state. The mind is usually full of fear. The mind is a wonderful tool. We value it. We welcome it. We bless it. But it's not really where we find our creativity. Our creativity is really found in soul work. That's where we sense. We sense things. We open up to messages, to ideas. We use our brain possibly to interpret and put them into physical form, but we go out of the brain in order to really be able to be in an open state and to access our creativity. So sensing, having our sensory realms, this is the second step. So the first step is going to quiet, finding a way to be able to choose. You choose to create space around you in your daily life for quiet. There's no other way. And you know what's so beautiful about this, Rodney, that I love? My teachings are all about making your life your practice. The concept that we have everything we need in our life, we just don't access it. it's easier sometimes to go to a seminar, to pick up a book, to go to a workshop, to go to yoga, to pay someone to teach you how to meditate. But the reality is that we have all of this. And going to quiet, this costs us nothing. So that's the first step, is creating space. The second step is reopening our sensory realms. There was a wonderful quote that Jean Houston said, where Jean Houston said, Jean Houston is a fabulous, fabulous teacher. Our senses are our most immediate connection to our creativity. If our sensory faculties are opened wide, if you consciously live with all seven engaged, you are indeed on your way to a world of wonder. It's actually all six engaged. You are indeed onto a world of wonder. So for most people, our senses are not engaged. And here's the rub. Most people aren't aware of that. That's where awareness comes in. Awareness comes in many places, but this is a spot where awareness comes in. I would urge everybody listening to really do an inventory and see where, determine where your senses are wide open and where they're shut down. When I was giving a lecture in New York last summer, I'm in New York quite a bit, but this particular lecture was last summer, and it was at a photo studio, and it was APA in New York, Rodney. I know you're familiar with the organization. We had 50 photographers in the studio. They'd signed up for what I call a pop-up meeting, where people come and they don't know what I'm going to do, and they just trust that it will be worth their time. So they came for a pop-up meeting, and this is all about opening up our sensory realms. And so we're sitting there talking on a hot summer night in a photo studio, and the windows are closed, and it's very comfortable because it's air-conditioned. And I started talking about how people's senses are shut down and diminished because of all of this stimulation, this overstimulation we have, where our bodies can only take so much. Our brains, our minds, our being can only take so much. So we unknowingly dampen our sense of hearing. We unknowingly, you know, when we look at any one situation, I'm sitting in my kitchen right now, and it's really beautiful, and out the door is my deck, and then there are woods beyond that. But my sight, I'm selectively looking at the lilies on the, they're beautiful, that are on the counter, but there's all many, many other things around me. So here we are in the studio in New York, and I'm talking about how we all limit our senses, and suddenly I went over to the window, and I just pulled up this really big window. I mean, visualize us in a big loft in New York and these big, big, big windows. And I go over there and I lift up this window. And suddenly, this quiet room where everybody was listening to me is flooded with noise. There's taxis honking. There's noise from the street. There's people shouting. Smells come wafting in. I mean, there's onions, there's garlic, I mean, there's Indian food. I mean, everything you could imagine came into the studio all at once. And all I had to do was look around the room, point to the window and go, see what I mean? And everybody got it. They knew that that's their world. Now, you don't have to live in New York to be overstimulated. People are overstimulated because that's the nature of the world today. So once again, what do? We check in and we see. We use our awareness to say, what stimulates me? What am I attracted to? Are my visual senses very, very highly focused and defined, but my sense of taste is off? Is my sense of smell very finely tuned, but my hearing isn't? Where are our senses developed, well developed, and where are they not? And the one sense that I guarantee everybody listening in on has that is not developed is their sense of their intuitive body. Because the intuitive sense is your sixth sense. And that's the sense that is the doorway to creativity. So what I'm talking about when I talk about the intuitive body is your ability to not think, but your ability to know, to sense, to sense something that's happening. My son Sam, who's now 23, great slam poet and photographer and creative writer, when he was a young boy, he used to call the sixth sense his Jiminy Cricket. Mom, you know, he'd say, "Mama, Jiminy's telling me," and then he'd go on to something. And it was his way of expressing his connection to his knowing, something that he knew to be true, something that he sensed that was going on. Well, that sensing, that's the doorway to our creativity. So being able to go through sensory exercises, I take people in my workshops through sensory exercises. My new 5-week program, Time to Thrive, is all about that. So, you know, really being able to open up, reopen our senses, and then learning how to do it on our own, which we can easily do, that's a doorway to creativity. So we've got two steps now. We've got the going to quiet and choosing to make time. We have a wonderful practice for that. And now step two is to open up the sensory realms and to see which senses are keenly opened, which are not, and then to accept and be reintroduce ourselves, because we have our intuitive bodies. We they're there for us. It's not as something we have to discover or something we have to buy or something anybody has to teach us. We have to choose to reconnect to our sensing and our intuitive body. And then there are practices that will help us, because we've forgotten a lot of this. You know, it's similar to the act of creation, or, you know, when you're a painter or a potter or a writer or a musician or a photographer. There are specifics to each art field, but there's beyond the specifics. Once you learn the specifics, you just kind of put them aside and you sense. It's like dance. We have muscle memory, right? So a teacher teaches you dance steps and you use your brain to learn those, but then every dancer knows you have to throw away your brain. When you're dancing, you're not in your brain, you're in your body. You're in your sensing, you're in your knowing. And that's what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. You know, Salim, you've given us such great advice, and I agree. I think, you know, the conversation that we're having, honestly, I feel is one that I think consciously we are becoming more aware of, even if we don't have the language for it.
Yes.
You mentioned many, many things as I was taking notes as you were speaking about you know, being overly stimulated. I mean, and I just think in terms of electronics alone, you know, you know, cell phones and iPads and things of that nature and so forth. And, you know, I find for myself is that I honestly get the best ideas for my business, you know, which is the framework of which our conversation, you know, is accumulating to, when I'm actually not at the computer,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm not at the iPad, when I'm not on the phone, but when I'm actually out at the beach. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And the other time for me personally is when I'm either taking a shower or washing dishes. I always say my ideas come to me when my hands are wet and I don't have access to a pen. But that's
probably because, if I might be so bold, I think that's probably because your brain isn't engaged and there's space for things to come in. When our brain is engaged, when it's being used, that's where our attention is. And when our brain is not engaged, our attention, you know, is elsewhere. So we have, then there's space for that to come in. People tell me this all the time, driving in the car, being in nature, doing something that is methodical where you like washing the dishes, where your brain isn't engaged, and it makes perfect sense because creativity really isn't brain work. It's just the opposite. It comes from a place that isn't our brain. Our brain may be engaged. And, I've had lots of lively conversations with people who are experts at how the brain works, like Jean Houston, who aren't always very, and I'm not saying Jean isn't, but other people who aren't always comfortable with the conversation and the use of the word spirit or energy, and they're convinced it's all the unconscious brain. Well, I'm not a scientist, and so I can't discuss whether it is or not, but what I can tell you, being a woman of faith, is that it really doesn't matter. What matters to me is the fact that we know that when we want to access creativity and be in the state where we can receive, we need to not necessarily have our brain engaged. In other words, time on electronics, on the web, surfing the web, that's great research time. Going on Facebook, that's great connection time and research time. Same thing with Twitter. I love the age of technology. I'm a 58-year-old woman who has embraced it wholeheartedly. And during all of that, I choose to go to quiet. I go to quiet a bunch. And I don't just go to quiet to five times a day or to meditation. I go to quiet to connect, because for me, when I'm overwhelmed, because I get overwhelmed a lot because my business is big, my life is big, I love it, and my brain, I love my brain, but I love my quiet. So we make choices. And the thing for people to remember as you're listening in is it's small steps really make a big difference. The 5 minutes a day, if you give yourself a goal of doing it even once a day, that's going to make a big difference. And you will notice it in yourself, and you will start to crave that time. I guarantee you, you will crave that time over a period of time, because we are creatures who not only have brains, but we have souls. And our souls, people love to connect. They love to be heard. Here's the Selena soapbox for 2 seconds. I believe if people felt heard more by the people they love, by other people, if they felt known a bit more, we would have a happier world. Well, we can create that being heard and that being known for ourselves, because when we go to quiet, we know a part of ourselves. We hear and connect to a very deep place inside of us that we're usually spending so much time running away from. And that's where creativity is. When we think back to the Renaissance days, to the days when artists were cosseted and they were cared for and they were supported, yes, they had questions, yes, they had issues, yes, they had real-life concerns, but their total time was spent creating. And that's why they were able to create the most amazing pieces of art. Well, we're now asked to be monks without monasteries. We're asked to be artists without the Renaissance. And so we need to make choices to create that environment around us in whatever way we choose. It's available to us at all times. And the only people getting in between us being heard, us being connected to ourselves, to our deeper self, to our higher self, is us. So we need to make that choice.
Wow. You know, the thing that, well, several things that you said, but one thing that, you know, resonated with me was you said being heard, and I know I don't remember exactly who yesterday we spoke with. No, it was Natalie Acobo we spoke with yesterday about creating more financial abundance in our lives, and one of the ways that she recommended and suggested in her three-step process was taking the time to listen to your people, the people you're connecting with, and asking them, what do you want? Like, I'm giving you that, I want to make this time your time to ask you, what do you want? Listening to them, and it made me think back to what you just said. As entrepreneurs, and we're out there in the world creating, and this is a conversation that I may go a little bit in depth, but I really want to have this moment because we're such at that place right now. Mm-hmm. When we're creative. Many of us on the call here are artists. We're creating from our spirit, our soul, the thing that we feel most, you know, drawn in our spirit to do, but. Obviously, we're wanting to commercialize this in order to generate income, financial resources for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you bridge that balance between the thing that you feel in your heart that you most want to express? And let's keep it simple in this respect and say a body of work, i.e. photography, because that's your high specialty, that's your primary specialty, and the needs of the marketplace. How do you bridge that balance when the marketplace is saying, this isn't what I want, and your spirit and your heart is saying, this is what I want to create?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because as I work with photographers, I've honestly never met a photographer who really had a defined vision that we couldn't find a market or several markets for. So I think the question has a couple of different levels to it. Number one, I think it's important for a photography artist, as we're speaking of photographers here, photographers, to really make sure, number one, that their body of work is well developed. Most of the photographers that come to work with me as a consultant don't have bodies of work that are as well developed as they need to have. They're still jumping all over from one area to another. And they don't understand, and that brings us to the second step. So step number one, make sure that what you're saying you want to do, within what you want to do, you have a fully developed body of work. Secondly, and you might do this before you develop the body of work, is check to make sure there's a marketability to what you want to do. You can see someone like myself. There are a few other consultants in the country. Speak to other peers. See what is being purchased out in the potential market you might want to go, you might want to sell to. And so you want to make sure there's marketability, and when there is, you want to develop that body of work. And then you want to find 3 to 5 markets that you can sell that work to. Very often the big issue when people come to me is they don't understand what a full body of work looks like, and they've been going out to market with a body of work that isn't enough for, isn't well developed enough, or if it's well developed, aren't enough examples of it. And so they've been less than successful. Make sure you have the developed body of work. Make sure you have 3 to 4 markets that you can market to. And then make sure you have a marketing plan that is deep enough and has 4 to 5 different ways for your potential buyers to find you. And then you need to make sure you keep that plan, adjusting it, adding new images to your body of work, for 2 to 4 years, which is the length of time that any business needs in order, attention-wise, in order for it to be successful. So if you're thinking, well, I love what I'm doing and nobody's buying it, so there's not a market for it, you really need to look at these steps and see where you're falling down, because it honestly, in over 30 years, I've never met a photographer that that had a vision that there wasn't marketability to, but I've met within that framework many, many photographers that either didn't have the body of work, didn't know where the market was, were in the wrong place, or they didn't have enough tools, or all of the above.
Mm-hmm. What I'm picking up or getting a clear message about, and I want to clarify that if I am really clear about it, is what you're saying is that it may not necessarily be that what you love to do, the expression that you want to have, isn't in the context of this conversation monetizable, but it could be that there's some pieces missing, like you have the message, but you're not giving it to the right people.
Right, because the only time a photography, because we're talking photography right now, right? So the
mm-hmm.
only time a photographer's work might not be commercially marketable is if they're an art photographer, or they want to work with the consumer market. So either place, you have 2 other markets. And you've got the art market, the consumer market, and the commercial market. So even if you're art-based, you still need to take the 3 steps we talked about in order to go to a gallery. You need to have a hugely deep body of work. You need to have know which galleries to see and what your other markets are to sell beyond the galleries in the art world. And then you still need to put the steps in place and take the same amount of time. If you're working with consumers, it's also the same thing. If you're walking in the consumer portrait, the wedding area, you know, you still need to have your deep body of work. You still need to know who the different markets are. You still need to have the steps to take. So in each of those realms, and, you know, I've worked with enough artists as well outside of photography in the work that I've been doing in the last 6 months to know it's the same thing there. So it's rare that there's an artist who has work that isn't marketable, but it's not at all rare. It's extremely common to find steps that are being missed. Exactly.
Right.
And that's the good news, right?
Absolutely. And I'll even go so far as to say is that the principles, we're using photography in the context of our conversation, Selena and I, for you, you know, for everyone listening, because that's how Selena and I initially connected, you know, and I, for many years, was very involved in photography. I still do it, you know, occasionally, you know, for projects. But the point I want to get to here is that whatever it is, whether it is photography or it's paintings or it's you have a massage therapy business or you're a coach or a consultant, your message has to match the market that you're talking to. If there's a disconnect there, then that's where the disconnect can come in the actual amount of financial compensation that comes into you. So it may not be your product. It may be that you're talking to the wrong people, i.e., meaning that they're not the people for you. Like you wouldn't go to a Mexican restaurant for sushi.
Exactly. And that's it, is finding, you know, making sure. So we're looking at the three different areas. We're looking to make sure whatever you're developing, whatever your product is, and I use the word product respectfully because art is a product if you're looking to sell it commercially, and that doesn't diminish. The word product in my world doesn't diminish anything. If you are a massage therapist, if you are a coach, whatever your product is, if you are convinced that it is the best it can be, that you have worked it and you have defined and refined and you continue to build new pieces to it, then you move on, if there's an issue with a lack of connection, to looking at the second step. Are you, as Rodney said, reaching the right market? Because that's huge. I did that at one point, and I did that quite recently with a product I created. I really wanted to reach out to more artists, and I created a product, and I really worked very hard on it, and I really worked very long on it, but I put it out to a market that wasn't ready for it yet, and I had no way of knowing, and sometimes this happens. Sometimes you have no way of knowing until you go through the steps. Even someone as experienced as I am 30 years down the line, you go through it, you go through the steps, you put it out there, and you go, wow, it was a fabulous product. I loved it. Everybody, I got thank you notes like crazy, but nobody purchased this. So I looked at it and I realized my market wasn't ready for the information yet. They were ready to sign up. They were ready to show up. They were ready to give us their time and attention. But they weren't ready to take out their pocketbooks yet because it's still information that they're not quite comfortable seeing the value in yet. And so I realized I had misread my market. And that was fabulous once I got to that point. So what I'm sharing with you is exactly what I use. This happened to me quite recently. So what happened? Before I discovered this, I was really distraught. But once I discovered what the misstep was that I had taken, then I felt great. It was so liberating because now I know that it was just a misstep in giving the wrong information to the market and assuming they were ready for something that they weren't. So that happens to us, and what we do is we correct that and we go back and say, okay, well, what audience would this be helpful for, and what material does my current audience need? And that's what Rodney's saying when he's saying, check out your market. Make sure that the people that you're going after really have the need for the product that you want to offer. And then the third step is make sure you have enough ways to reach people over time so that they have enough need for you. One of the things that artists do, as many of us are, you know, many of us do, is we're impatient. You know, we live in the day of drive-through food, of, you know, download Netflix, and our level of expectation of how things should be delivered is often out of sync with reality. So you need to reach people in 4 to 5 different ways, marketing-wise, advertising-wise, selling-wise, and then you need to give your efforts enough time for fruition. And so we're a little bit off that creative flow, but I thought I would share that with you because I find in every area of business, not just in creative business, these 4 steps are critical.
You know, well, and I personally feel it's all a part of the flow process because the thing of it, and first of all, I want to say thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing that because it's something that a lot of us, quote unquote, I'm using air quotation marks here, experts should have it all figured out.
We're human. We're all in human form. No. And, well, the thing is, you know, and the thing about the difference between, you know, I'm a speaker. But I'm also a student, and, you know, as I say to my teacher who I've studied with for 20 years, and she has, you know, I share this with her all the time, I have no problem being on the top of the mountain, and I have no problem being in the valley, because I am a perpetual student, and that is my approach to life, and I love that, and I'm happy to share my missteps, because I think it's very important, you know, for people to understand that when we misstep, we need to give ourselves grace and kindness and compassion for ourselves. I felt so grateful when this misstep happened a couple of weeks ago. It happened right before my birthday, and another situation arose around the house that I'm selling, my home of 20 years. And it was a tough time for me, and it wasn't until I figured it out that I was able to take a deep breath and be comfortable. And I love the fact that all the years of the work that I've done gave me an opportunity where within less than 24 hours of starting to feel uncomfortable about this, I was fine. Because compassion and kindness and grace, when we're surrounded by those qualities and we extend that to ourselves, we're able to move through any situation with ease, as much ease as the situation. As much ease as the situation allows, but that's not what I want to say. I want to say that different situations might create different levels of discomfort, but we can move through any of them with those elements in our front pocket. So it's, you know, being a student, being a teacher, that's where I feel most comfortable and happy to share my missteps because it brings up deeper conversation about when we go through these times in our lives, how we can support ourselves. Because once again, this is about making your life your practice. This is, you don't need anybody to pat you on the back. You don't need to tell your story over and over and over and over, which truly doesn't support you and help the way you think it might. You simply need to draw from within, and this doesn't mean that we don't look to friends or be a friend, but it means we have resources that we rarely tap into, like grace, like kindness, like compassion, that we can tap into at any time.
Beautifully said. You know, for me, you know, for our conversation that we've had to this point, what I have really gotten from this is, one, for me, the steps I've taken from it is, one, take time to take 3 times a day, 5 minutes, no noise, no distraction, just to get quiet and just let yourself just kind of be for a little bit in order to stay.
Breathe. Really focus on the breath. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, focus on the breath. Focus on the breath to stay tapped in to your creative source. In terms of your actual communications and your business, is make sure that your conversation, the connection that you're making with the market that you want to serve, actually there's a match between what you're creating and what they want, and that you're actually you're in communion with them so that you're clear about what they want and that your creations match their desires so that there's a match between what you're creating and what you're delivering with them. And I feel like that can be accessible to us when we give ourselves that time to get quiet. Because if we're so busy trying to push things out there without really asking, without really taking that moment to get clear. I think the answers we all want are inside of us already anyway. We just don't. We sometimes are afraid to trust that information that comes to us because we're being told, well, you should do it this way or you should want to do it that way. But I think if we get quiet, we will get the answer that we want, and we'll get the action steps we need to take to actually connect with the people that most want and need what we have to offer. And then if I could think, the third thing that we had spoken to, that you just spoke of was, I'm losing my train of thought here because I was really focused on the first two, was the last part of your conversation, Selena, where you just said about, being willing to make mistakes, quote-unquote, or missteps as you put them, but not allow them to derail you, to let them be a part of your growth process, your learning process, because they all serve a purpose. Would this summation of what we've talked about so far be, would I be in alignment with what we've been talking about?
Exactly, and one of the overarching, perfectly summarized, Rodney, thank you, one of the overarching concepts that I'd love to share with everyone is that what happens to us in life on this journey, this physical planet, this wonderful, wonderful planet of ours, what we experience, our relationships, our daily events, the opportunities that come our way, the opportunities that don't, the experiences we have, all of it isn't all there is. There is a whole other aspect. These experiences and relationships really provide us with an opportunity each step to grow our soul, to see that, okay, this is happening, like my last misstep. I could have just focused on that, and I could have obsessed on that. I could have told the story over and over. I could have stated the numbers. I could have, you know, and I could have been stuck there. I could have been attached there, or I could have said, okay, there's something greater here. There's something more for me to access. And it's not about for me to know in my business necessarily. Maybe some of it is business, but I look at it as there's something for me as a being here on this planet that I need to be able to have an opportunity to practice. And that's why I say the phrase, the work that I do is helping people to make their life their practice. Because when an event happens, if I stay with the event, I'm missing the opportunity to practice the piece of me that will grow my soul. So what I needed to practice, what I realized, was being kind and compassionate to myself. And so life is all about all of these. We can just have these experiences and work the experiences, or we can look at the experiences, see what we might need to learn about that event or that person or that relationship, and then say, okay, but what about me? What am I supposed to learn from my personal growth, from my higher self? Where's my higher self here, and what does my higher self need to learn? Because I would propose to everybody, that's why we're here. We're here to grow in our higher self.
Yeah.
That's what we're about this time around.
I completely agree. And I love the way this conversation has flowed because what it sums up is, you know, for so many of us, I think this is a really, really important point to make, is that I find that we, as in our society and in our consciousness right now, is we find ourselves spending so much energy trying to avoid making quote-unquote mistakes. Mm-hmm. And because that seems to be a prevailing energy that surrounds us, is that we won't always allow ourselves to trust ourselves to make choices and do things, put our work out there into the world, because we're afraid that we won't get or we won't receive what it is that we want. And what I feel the way our conversation has landed today is that by allowing ourselves to move into these experiences, embracing whatever happens, and understanding that there's a lesson and a gift in all of it, and that if it teaches you, you know, on some level I kind of had a feeling that maybe that wasn't quite the way it needed to go, but I was so busy with busy work I didn't want to take time to really sit down and just get quiet about it. Or I knew when I was making that presentation, I could kind of tell that really wasn't quite what the connection was happening here, but I was a little afraid to trust myself to take a step back and look at it from a different perspective or talk to that person who could give me another viewpoint on it. And so you go back and you course correct. And then you reintroduce, because it's all navigation. What was the term I heard, that a plane flies off course? I don't forget what the percentage, but it's a pretty high percentage. A plane flies off course, a pretty high percentage off course, and then corrects to get to the final destination that needs to happen. And I think that's a great metaphor for how our lives and how our businesses run.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And also I would just say that a phrase by Mark McGuire, who was a world record baseball player. He had a world record for hitting home runs. I remember reading Rodney, that he once said, it's really important that every time I go up to bat, I give it my absolute all. I hit that ball like there is no tomorrow. He said, and what most people don't realize, they don't look at my strikeout record. My strikeout record, home run hitters have the highest strikeout records of people in baseball. And that's what he said. He said, I strike out more than anybody, but I have to do that in order to hit the biggest hits. And I loved that. I don't know if I'm expressing it well, but the point is, if you go out there and you give it absolutely everything you have, you're going to have more strikeouts than other people because you're giving it more than other people. But when you hit, boy, are you going to hit big. And that's what we have to do, is we have to live beyond our potential, because we see our potential as very small. We always see our potential as less than it truly is. So when we go up there and hit that bat and hit beyond potential, boy, do we have the opportunity to really be in flow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to use your baseball analogy, ultimately is be in the game.
Yes.
To begin with. And stay in the game, and be, and not be, and I guess I, for me, this really resonates with me really highly. Is work through the fear of making quote unquote a mistake,
mm-hmm.
or a misstep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to me, honestly, Selena, that sums up to me what it means to be in creative flow. Is releasing the need to feel that if I do something here, I could possibly make a mistake.
Well, that's certainly a step that, you know, we cover that in my Time to Thrive program a lot, because a lot of people come to that program and it's one of the main questions they have is, well, how do I, you know, I don't want to get started because I'm afraid to get started because on any project because I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And that's one of the very key areas. I actually have a coach that I've worked with who's produced some information for us for that program, because that's a big, that gets in people's way.
Absolutely. You know, Selena, we could talk forever, and I you know, we've had such amazing conversations, but I know I want to stay, you know, on time. I know we've gone a little bit, but I allowed us a full hour.
Wonderful. I didn't realize
that. Still have, but we are fast approaching the end of that hour. But so I do want to, first of all, say thank you so much for coming. And I hope
what
that everyone here got a couple of nuggets and took notes, because it really is, to me, I think this whole conversation sums up what it means to be in flow. And of course, there's much more that we could talk about, and, you know, we could be here all afternoon, and I would love it. But I do want to, you know, first of all, well, thank you for coming and for sharing with us and giving us some food for thought as we move into the last day of the masterclass. And to also give you an opportunity to share a little something about a program that you've created, and a way for people to access it. And what I'll do is I'll just soft introduce it. So one of the things that Selena and I did when we were talking about what we'd love to gift you is Selena has created an amazing MP3 chakra clearing meditation that is available for you for instant download on the getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts page. And Selena's going to talk about that for a little bit. And then she's going to talk about, as she's mentioned throughout the call, we've spoken about her Thrive program, which is a 5-week course that she's starting soon. And I'm going to let Selena tell you a little bit about both of those. And then if you want to learn more, please visit the getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts page to scroll down to see Selena's portrait there and learn more about it. So, Selena, it's yours.
Well, thank you so much, Rodney, for the invitation to be here. I've loved this. This is such an amazing event, and to be a small part of it and to be able to share with everyone who's on the call today and everyone who's listening afterwards, it's been my true pleasure. My website is selenamaitreya.com. I answer my own mail. So selena@selenamaitreya.com. If anybody has a question from anything that we've covered today and you want a little more explanation, I try to get back to people within 24 hours, so please feel free to contact me. I wanted to share the chakra cleansing meditation because it's very special and you won't find this. Now, most people or some people may not know about chakras, and they are simply our energy systems. They've been recorded, they've been photographed, that everybody has. And all types of energy from people to plants to situation come through these different energy centers in our physical body. And it's kind of like when you eat food and you brush your teeth every day, you wouldn't walk through the day without brushing your teeth and flossing because all the food would be staying in your teeth and on your mouth, and that's not a pleasant thing. Well, energy is like that too. And as we walk around, when we were talking about being overstimulated, oversaturated, we can be carrying around the energy of other people, of other situations. And you know this because if you go by two people arguing in a food store and you just tense up because you feel the energy of the heat and what's going on between them, that's in your system. Conversely, if you look at a baby and you see a mom cooing to her little baby and you're full of love, that's in your system. And it's not a matter of good or bad, but it's that you don't want anybody's energy in your system over time because it's not yours. So the great thing about this meditation is you follow along. It's guided. It's me guiding you. And, you know, try it out, because even if you know nothing about chakras or the word energy or this conversation really feels a little too woo-woo for you, I guarantee you at the end of it you'll be very relaxed and open. And that's a great state for creativity. And that's why I wanted you to do this. This is maybe 10 minutes, and it will rock your world. Time to Thrive is a wonderful program. It's an online teaching program that I've created for commercial photographers and artists. We meet virtually online every week for an hour and a half, you, me, and the people that have signed up. It's going on now, and it's starting Monday night. So this is your last chance to hop on board. Just go to selenamaitreya.com/time2thrive.com, all one word. And you will see a landing page that has lots of information. If you'd like to join, you can still join for the introductory price. So you'll be meeting with me online. There are wonderful exercises that open you up to creativity. There's a whole section on creating the money flow. It's you, me, and people from around the world. We send, if you can't join us at that time, we send the recordings, transcripts. You have a whole workbook to work with. It's a phenomenal program, and I'd welcome everybody here to check it out. So it's selenamaitreya.com, Time to Thrive, but you're going to have to check it out quickly. So if you're pumped by what you've been going through the last 3 days and you want to take it deeper, it's a program to check out. So thank you for letting me share that with your tribe, Rodney. I appreciate that.
Most
grateful for being here today. Thank you so much for asking me to contribute to this amazing effort. This has just been wonderful.
Oh, it's been my absolute pleasure. And again, the link also there, if you weren't able to write all that in, I also supplied the link there on the gift page next to Selena's chakra clearing MP3. And you can access that immediately. There's no additional, access you need to do. Just click on the link and it'll open up a new window and you can just download that immediately. And then the link for Selena's Thrive program is also right there too as well.
Thanks.
So you can access that. So, again, Selena, thank you so much for being here. You know, I always enjoy our conversations. I always walk away with such a wealth of knowledge, and I hope that everyone here who listens had an opportunity to really take some notes and do a little, and if you do nothing else, if you take nothing away from this, is take that time to really embrace the quiet and enjoy that and then move forward. And feel free to listen to the replay of this. This will be available to you. I'll be sending out information about that coming later on this evening, this weekend. And if it's something you want to come back and visit again, please consider adding this to your success library. I'll also be doing summary sheets of our conversation today, so you'll have the highlights of what Selena and I, as I have done with all of the presenters, have spoken about over the last 2 days, now moving into day number 3. So again,
have a wonderful time, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great afternoon, and I'll see you in about 50 minutes or so with Jewel Watkins, and that's going to be a visual webinar, so you will want to be on the webcast to see that. You can listen over the phone if you're not near your computer, but you will want to see the screen if you can be near your computer to watch that, and that'll be in about 45 minutes or so. Everyone, have a good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for Day 3 Monetize Your Gifts Live. Thank you, Selena.
Pleasure, Rodney. Take care. Bye, everybody.
Bye.